that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today we take you to Theater on the Ridge in Paradise to talk with the director and the stars of the theater's current production, Jeeves and Wooster, in Come On Jeeves, a stylishly silly and expertly performed version of the stories by P.G. Wodehouse, following the exploits of the foolishly clueless young aristocrat Bernie Wooster and his endlessly resourceful manservant, Jeeves. On today's program, we'll also take you to the Performing Arts Center in Anderson, where this weekend's production, presented by South Shasta County Youth Arts, is Beauty and the Beast Jr., a live performance of the Disney musical designed specifically for young actors, singers, and dancers. We'll hear from the two stars and from the director. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
Riverfront Playhouse in Reading ends its run of The Trip to Bountiful. Final performances are tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. Swing on over to the Cascade Theater in Reading for the musical Tarzan, based on the animated Disney film. Evening showtimes, tonight and tomorrow, are 7 o'clock, with 2 o'clock matinees tomorrow and Sunday. In Red Bluff, at the State Theater, Ancy McLean and the Trailer Park Troubadours. Master storyteller McLean and his band blend music with humor and heart. The concert starts at 7:30. Then tomorrow night at the State Theater in Red Bluff, McAvoy Lane portrays one of America's greatest writers and humorists in the one-man show The Ghost of Twain. Experience the wit and wisdom of Mark Twain starting at 7:30. Chico's Blue Room Theater ends its run of Good with Faces by local playwright Hilary Tellison. The final performances of this darkly absurd mystery farce are tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. Tomorrow night at Laxon Auditorium, as part of Dance Chico Week, Rhythmic Circus performs Feet Don't Fail Me Now. Five dancers and a seven-piece funk band make for a thunderous show starting at 7:30. Then Sunday night, capping off Dance Chico, Broadway Boogie, the family-friendly dance party in downtown Chico. Come to 3rd Street between Broadway and Main between 6 and 9 for an evening of dance fun. Tomorrow afternoon at Chico State's Roland Taylor Recital Hall, the Bach Festival begins with a student recital at 2 o'clock. Then tomorrow evening at the Harlan Adams Theater on campus, the Chico Acapella Choir and the North Valley Chamber Chorale join with members of the North State Symphony to present the Brahms Requiem, starting at 7:30. Wrapping up the festival on Sunday, also at the Harlan Adams Theater, an organ recital, Brahms vs. Bach, starting at 2 o'clock. Tuesday night at the Sierra Nevada Big Room, the bluegrass sounds of Front Country start at 7:30. At the university's Janet Turner Print Gallery, the exhibit Know Their Name, Women Printmakers and Shoujo Manga Artists. Turner Hours, 11 to 4, Monday through Saturday. 1078 Gallery in Chico presents its 2017 member show. In honor of April Fool's Day, members of the gallery have created works about fools and foolishness. Help celebrate 1078's birthday at a reception tomorrow evening at the gallery from 6 to 8 o'clock. At the Chico Arts Center, the Replication Machine. The closing reception for this unique event is tonight from 5 to 7 o'clock And at that reception, you'll have a chance to not only see the artistic replications created by this machine, but meet the artists as well. In Paradise tomorrow night, the Norton Buffalo Hall welcomes musician Martin Gershowitz for an evening of songs and stories starting at 7 o'clock. The Acting Company in Yuba City closes its run of The Seagull, the classic by Anton Chekhov. See it tonight or tomorrow at 7:30. The final performance is Sunday at 2. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Today is the birthday of philosopher René Descartes, who believed, "It is not enough to have a good mind. The main thing is to use it well."
I'm here at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise. I'm going to be talking with the cast and the director of the present production, which is Jeeves and Wooster in Come On Jeeves. The director, Judy Clemons. Talk about the relationship between the two title characters, Wooster the spoiled aristocrat and his gentleman's gentleman, Jeeves.
Bertie is really kind of a fool, and he's not real sharp, and he is of the upper class, and he's never had to work, and he's got money, and Jeeves is really almost a father figure to him. He really takes care of Bertie and makes sure that Bertie doesn't get into trouble. I think that Bertie just really depends on Jeeves to make his life run smoothly.
They're telling the story, but especially Wooster keeps breaking out and talking to the audience. Was that fun to do that two-level thing?
It was. Actually, Bertie is written to speak to the audience. He's specifically written to speak to the audience. Jeeves and Seppings, not so much, but which sort of incorporated it into it so that it draws the audience in. And that's one of the things that I love about this play is that the audience is drawn in and they're participants, whether they like it or not, they're participants.
We have here Jerry Miller, who is the artistic director of Theater on the Ridge, and also plays one of the two title roles. So why did you think a P.G. Wodehouse piece would be good for the Theater on the Ridge audience?
Because it's very funny. It's dry, but quite literate. I watched all the Jeeves and Wooster BBC shows. I love P.G. Wodehouse, and I forced my child, who's in the show, to watch it too. And so we both had a love for that material. When this idea came up, we said, we have to do it. And it was kind of special that my son and I got to do it together.
There's a lot of quick changing in this, of both the sets and the costumes and the accents and everything. So you play a lot of different characters, and you're also responsible for making the set transform. What's it like for you to do all that stuff to make everything change so quickly for the audience?
Now I can say it's fun. 2 weeks ago, I would have said it's an insane asylum and a nightmare. But we have it down now. It appears that we do everything, the two butlers, John Merrick's character, Seppings and I. But actually, you know, we walk off stage, and for me, sometimes I don't even know who I am next, and there's people putting things on me and putting my wig, and I go, okay, that wig, I'm that character now. It's the backstage crew that helps make all that magic really happen. I mean, we do work and change fast, but without the crew, it wouldn't happen.
Well, now we have the other title character from the present production at Theater on the Ridge. We're now talking with Bertie Wooster, played by Loki Miller. You two are completely sharing this whole play. What's it like being on kind of an equal footing with your father, who is like master of theater in this area?
Right. Yeah, it is the first time that we've really done a show both as leads, sharing such a big part of it. This is really the first time that we've done so much work together. He's a genius, John's a genius, and I'm just stuck in the middle, and it's just been great fun. The whole process has been just a pure delight.
How did you master, well, the English accent, but also that whole feeling of being a silly upper crust young man who is clueless and sheltered?
The English accent I've been working on since I was a little kid. getting the whole aristocratic foppishness. It's hard to explain other than it was very intuitive, but the character, he's right in that part of that society where he just floats along and, you know, he doesn't have to work or think much, but he's had all the education and all the opportunities. When I read the script and I knew of Jeeves and Wooster from before, I just loved it. And when I found it, when it came to me, it was second nature. I don't know how else to describe it other than I understood the nature of it.
Describe the relationship between your character, Wooster, and your manservant, Jeeves.
My character, he's a wealthy son of very wealthy, high-ranking English family, and so is birthed into this life where he has all the earthly desires that he could ever want. You know, he's never had to earn or work for anything, so he's just in love with his way of life. He's what you would call a layabout. Having a manservant is just part of his life, you know, and all of his friends have butlers and manservants. It's just one of those things. It's a relationship that he's accustomed to.
Birdie is telling a story at the beginning of the show. The conceit is, I guess, that he's rented a theater so he could tell an audience this story and act it out.
Exactly. The whole show is just another one of his whims. He was telling a story to a friend at their club, and his friend said, "That's a really funny story. You should do it in a theater." And so he just does it without even giving it a second thought, just because he thinks it'll be funny, relying on Jeeves and Seppings, the other butler, to basically do all of the work so that he can just be himself and have fun. Jeeves is always having to run around and do work overtime to make sure that Birdie is not embarrassing himself with all the trouble that he's always getting himself into.
Is it fun being someone who's clueless and has to have other people do things for him, but yet has absolute feeling of confidence because of his social position?
It's fun because he feels like everything is already expected. He's born into his position and he's got the birthright. In his mind, he belongs in the history books. He's brought up with the royal kind of blood and that attitude. But in reality, he has zero ability to function, really. It's a really funny contradiction, and that's part of the challenge of getting the taste of it right, is walking that line. It's challenging, but also just great fun.
So, Loki, sum up what audiences will enjoy if they go see Jeeves and Wooster in Come On, Jeeves at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise.
It's just a barrel of laughs. It's everything from the very kind of witty intellectual humor, but it also has very straight-to-the-gut punchlines. It's very, very enjoyable and funny.
Now I'm here with the third member of the cast of Jeeves and Wooster, John Merrick. John, you get to play a lot of different parts. Is it fun transforming quickly from one to the other?
It's fun being multiple characters in a show. I hadn't had the opportunity to do that before, so yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Do you feel that you're doing kind of a high-wire balancing act for the entertainment of the audience?
I think it's written in the show that way. I think one person being multiple characters and multiple sexes is fun for the audience to watch.
You got a lot of props. In fact, there's kind of more of a visual prop humor to what your performance is. For one character who's supposed to be extra tall and menacing, I don't want to give anything away, but you have to use two more levels of platform that rolls around. Is that fun working with that contraption that allows you to be very tall, but also makes it hard for you to move around?
I think it's a great addition to the show. I call it my height prosthetic. Actually, it's another character in the show. And as the character grows more menacing, he grows in height as well. But I think it's just perfectly written by Wodehouse. It's a great addition to the play.
Your director, Judy, told me she had to kind of coax you into doing this show because you had been taking a hiatus from performance. Is it true you were a little reluctant to come back into theater because you were taking a break?
Yeah, I was doing a big transition in my personal life. I had sold a business and had two other jobs after that, and I was just kind of getting settled into life again. And she'd been asking me to do shows for the last 18 months to 2 years, and I just wasn't ready to come back. It's a lot of time. It's 3 months out of your life, 4 or 5 nights a week, and it can wear on you. And I've been doing theater in this area since 94, so 23 years, and I just needed some time away. I still came and volunteered, sold raffle tickets when they needed help, but just wasn't willing to put that time commitment into learning the lines and rehearsing and performing. But this show, I gotta say, the opportunity to work with Loki and Jerry removed a big obstacle for me. I'd worked with Loki before in Rabbit Hole right here at Theater on the Ridge, and I'd been admiring Jerry's work forever, ever since I've been going to plays in other venues, and he just makes it look so easy, and he's so good. And when I got to work with him, I see that it's not so easy. Jerry works very hard, as does Loki, in what they do. They were a real inspiration for me to come back, so that's why I did it.
Did it take a long time in rehearsal to really get the whole thing to flow smoothly?
Yes, it did. Yes, there's so many transitions and character changes and prop changes. I'm still not quite sure some days who I'm supposed to be next. Again, that's a testament to the people backstage. I say, who am I next? And they go, oh, you're this person. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Otherwise, it would be very embarrassing. In fact, there's an incorrect costume change written in the show. Oh, I just gave something away, didn't I? But yeah, it's a process getting all this stuff done. But we did it.
Talk about playing a butler and how that dovetails into you doing all these other things for the service of the play.
The initial character, Seppings, the butler, he's referred to as Old Seppings. He's very stoic and sarcastic. I think he's a closet actor, just like I am. So when he got the opportunity to help tell this story, it gave him a chance to let his hair down, so to speak, and shed the shackles of Downton Abbey and live in the wonderful world of P.G. Wodehouse and be six other people. I think he really enjoys it.
Judy Clemons.
In the rehearsal process, we really just sort of played with all the characters and tried some different things and went way over the top, and then I would pull them back. But they were all so brilliant in what they brought to each individual character. They needed to make the characters different, other than just the costume pieces and stuff. They just needed to have definitely different characters. Of course, you know, playing the woman, you know, that appealed to me. And we also talked, too, about them getting rid of their beards. Actually, I just thought it would be funnier if they kept the beards, and I think it works really well.
Was it fun playing off of that paternal relationship, seeing as how Jeeves is actually the father of the actor playing Wooster?
Right. That was another dynamic that really appealed to me, and watching them take their own relationship, their real-life relationship, and sort of meld it in with their performances as these characters was just a lot of fun. It was great to see that progress.
Well, Judy, describe the experience audiences will have if they go see Jeeves and Wooster in Come On Jeeves at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise.
Bring your silly shoes. That's all I have to say, is just bring your sense of humor. Let the play unfold and delight you as it's delighted all of our audiences up to this point. And if you're in need of a laugh, and I think we all are right now, you know, with the way things are in this country, just come and give in to it and let yourself have a good time.
Theater on the Ridge in Paradise. The current production is Jeeves and Wooster in Come On Jeeves.
I invite people to come on down tonight and tomorrow, and we have a Sunday matinee this Sunday at 2 o'clock, and then we have one more weekend of performances on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday through April 8th, and one final matinee at 2 o'clock on Sunday the 9th.
Thanks, Judy.
Beauty and the Beast, Jr., a live stage version of the Disney musical designed for young singer-actor-dancers. It's on stage this weekend, put on by South Shasta County Youth Arts, and it's at the Anderson Union High School Performing Arts Center. Now let's join our Reading correspondent, Kelly Frost, as he talks with the young stars and the director.
My name is Sarah Richards, and I play Belle.
Well, most people know the story of Beauty and the Beast. Is there anything different about this production?
The fact that it's done by kids can be really eye-opening as far as looking for inner beauty and not how people see you.
How do you prepare to play this character?
Most of it has actually been with the directors. John Truitt has really helped me find how to play this character. She's very strong. That's not a kind of character that I've ever played before. Another part of it is researching yourself, watching the new movie, seeing different perspectives of how to play Belle.
You don't really want to try to mimic those movie characters.
No, of course not. I just want to get an idea and see what they did and see how I'm doing it.
Do you want to make a career out of this?
Of course. It's been my dream since I stepped on the stage.
My name is Evan Miller, and I play The Beast.
I understand this is your first play.
Yes, it is.
Congratulations, because you've got quite a good part. What made you decide you wanted to do a play like this?
My friend Christian, who plays Maurice, he's been in a couple of these plays before, and I just wanted to try something new, so I decided to do it.
How do you prepare yourself to play a character like The Beast?
As time went on, I figured out how. I think it's hard because he's not really static, but changes throughout the whole play. The Beast starts out as a really angry, selfish, spoiled character. He, like, adjusts and becomes more adapt to being around people and actually learns social skills.
Tell me what it's like working with so many people.
It's really fun. I've definitely made a lot of new friends. It's really different because, like, at school, it's only 120 kids in a grade. Here, there's a lot more than that.
Do you think you might want to do some more plays when you get into high school?
Probably, most likely.
My name is John Truitt. I'm the director here at SSCYA, directing Beauty and the Beast, Jr.
How did you get involved in doing this?
10 years ago, I started directing the high school shows with my friend Nancy Dutton. The children's group here in South Shasta County was getting started out and was growing, so Nancy and some parents wanted to do some bigger shows, so I signed on, and I'm glad I did. It's great coming down here to Anderson to work with the kids. I consider it a staycation. Kids are just absolutely great. We're just having a really good time. It's just like a big, big family putting on a show, and I really enjoy it.
Is it just a coincidence that you're doing Beauty and the Beast now at the same time the movie came out?
A lot of people have been talking about Beauty and the Beast for the past couple of years. When we looked at the script and looked at the music, we said, wow, this is a great show. There's a lot of parts for young people. We've got a lot of talented kids, so it just made a good choice all the way around.
They're from a lot of different schools around the area, right? How did you pull them all together?
We have over 20 schools represented. We got them all together just, you know, doing a general audition call. You know, we have a lot of families that are aware of what it is that we're doing down here. And the youngest person on stage is 4, going up to our oldest person right now, just turned 14. It's quite an age group. 75-plus kids that are really just working their heart out to make a good show.
And as a director, how do you motivate especially the two main characters, the Beauty and the Beast? They're so young, they don't have a lot to draw from as far as ever being in love or things like that. How do you bring that out in them?
Young people, not only do they have great imaginations, but they also don't put limits on themselves. And so it's not tough to ask a kid to do all kinds of different things. It's only when we get older that we put limits on ourselves and limit our own imagination.
Very true. What other productions have you done?
Most of the directing I've done over the past couple of years has been down here in Anderson, either with the Anderson and West Valley shows or with the SSCYA kids show.
And what's the music like in here?
It's Beauty and the Beast. It's absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's fantastic. You don't realize how many songs you recognize from Beauty and the Beast until you're sitting in the chair and hearing it. And you go, wow, this show is really, really, really a cultural touchstone. I'm glad that we're doing it. I'm glad the kids get an opportunity to, you know, actually sing these songs.
These kids they all have so much energy. How do you wrangle them all together to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing?
With the help of lots and lots and lots of parents. And also, these kids, they want to put on a show. They want to perform. They want to have fun. They want to get in the costume and pretend that they're in the world of Beauty and the Beast. So, you know, it doesn't take a lot of cajoling. It's not like I'm asking them to go out and pull weeds or rake leaves or do any house chores. I'm asking them to play.
Okay, well, thank you, John. Tell me your name and your child's name and what school they go to.
Wonderful. My name is Justine Wildauer. I'm the production manager, and I have three children here. One is Mrs. Potts. Her name is Nicole. Another is Nathan. He is Lumiere. And then I have a third, Lauren, and she is one of the silly girls. They all go to Cottonwood Creek Charter School.
Can you tell me what it's like to be a parent involved in this?
We absolutely love it. We got involved about 6 years ago with my girls both starting off in Sleeping Beauty. It's been an amazing opportunity for my kids to have an outlet to be able to be supported and encouraged in their passion for acting and singing and being totally fun goofs on stage. My son, when he got involved in it a couple years afterward, just really loved the supportive atmosphere that exists here with all the students. This year we have 75 kids, and they all really rally around one another and become a theater family together.
Each individual school probably couldn't do a production like this.
Yeah, definitely not to this scale.
But bringing them all together, they can. That seems like something that's kind of unique and exciting.
It's a youth arts theater production company. The public have in their mind kind of a cutesy school play, but the caliber of the costuming, the caliber of the acting and the singing, just everything that goes into it. Every year, our opening night, we get through like the first two songs or so, and I just get goosebumps. I am so proud of not just my three kids, but honestly, every single one of those students pouring their hearts out on that stage.
Sounds like you're having as much fun as the kids are.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yes.
And do any of your children seem like they want to maybe continue doing this when they get into high school?
For sure. My twins are heading off to high school next year, and they're super excited to be involved in it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Be our guest.
Be our guest.
The young performers of South Shasta County Youth Arts invite you to be their guest. It's at the Anderson Union High School Performing Arts Center, Beauty and the Beast Jr. It plays tonight at 7 o'clock, and the final two performances are both tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and 7 o'clock in the evening. And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program in its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.